Welcome to the Ring of Honor review. I'm Oliver Newman.
And I'm Stephen Jackson.
Hi, Stephen. How are you doing tonight?
Not doing too bad, Oliver. Are you okay this evening?
Well, considering we were attempting to start this at 7 o'clock and then half 7, and now it's 3 minutes past 8, and I'm no longer staying up for Raw, so don't exactly have the same amount of time to put the meticulous effort I do into this ROH review. my true labor of love. When we record, I edit, I listen to it back and then post it and stuff, and sometimes that happens around about 2 a.m. I don't really have that time, so a little bit stressed out, but you know, always glad to be speaking with you and talking about our true labor of love, which is Ring of Honor.
Definitely. Yeah. It's always a pleasure to be able to talk on a Monday evening and to be able to cover the show. And as it's coming up, as we're speaking about later on, you know, final battle. So, yeah, it's going to be great again.
Well, yeah, like I said, you know, we've looked at the numbers and stuff, and just over 2,534 listens on my last count, but the latest show has gone up, which is, it's just amazing, in all honesty. Me and Stephen would like to thank you know, the ROH fans for tuning in. We like to keep this positive. We talk about everything across the board, and yeah, thanks very much for joining us on this journey.
Definitely. And yeah, just amazing numbers. I mean, it, you expect when you start something to have that sort of positivity and that amount of interest, but to hear how many views we've had and them to be still up there every week, and it's just amazing. So yeah, thank you everyone for listening in. Thank you everyone for sharing and for liking and you know, tuning in every week, because we just both love being able to talk about the show and being able to promote Ring of Honor to as many people as possible. So yeah, it's great. Thank you.
Well, yeah, like I said, it's just been amazing. Like the rest of the feedback as well, likes and retweets from different wrestlers in the company. So that makes you think that you're doing, you know, the right thing with the ROH review. And like I said, a huge shout out to the Fight Network UK as well, because they've liked and retweeted, you know, the different shows. And without them, there wouldn't be an ROH review, I don't think. I mean, for yourself, you tried to get me to watch the internet show, but I don't think we'd be doing this if the Fight Network hadn't picked up Ring of Honor here in the UK.
Yeah, I mean, it's I've been, like we said before, I've been following the company a long time during the internet era, and it became part of my routine just to watch it on the Fight Network, on Fight TV before it became part of the Fight Network. And I did try to get you into it after we'd spoken about it on previous podcasts, but sometimes when you do
tried his best things, ladies and gents,
sometimes when you do see things on a TV, it does make a big difference, and it does help you to get more invested in the product and to be more engaged with what's going on. And that routine of sitting down and watching wrestling, as we all know from being fans of a young age, you know, it just helps, I think, that to get you more engaged into it. So it's just great to be able to see so much positive feedback for something you love so much. And, you know, it just means the world. So, yeah, again, thank you, everyone. And I hope you enjoy this next episode we'll be doing tonight.
Yeah, like I said, you know, for me, I'd read everything, and I'm sure you have too, Stephen, and you kind of, you don't want to let somebody else's opinion kind of sway your own, but
yeah,
when people are really dragging the company through the dirt during the television era and stuff, saying things about bookers and what have you, and you're like, much like, you know, if somebody's watching Raw and SmackDown and you read the reports and stuff, and then with the Fight Network just come a new lease of life for me. I was like, okay, it's up to me now. It's on TV. I can watch it and, you know, we'll see where we are. And then obviously me and you have this mutual interest of Ring of Honor dating back to 2002. You more so the television era, or the internet and television era, and me more so the old school Ring of Honor. And that's just a perfect mesh, in all honesty. So when this came up, and you know, and Alex Shelley and Jonathan Gresham kicked off the debut show, that was enough for me to get in contact with you and say, Stephen, we need to do this. And here we are 5 weeks later, you know, about to start the fifth show review, in all honesty. And yeah, we, like I said, and Stephen said it and stuff, it's amazing that, you know, two guys who like Ring of Honor can talk about it in today's day and age. You know, when I started writing about wrestling in 2004, this was a pipe dream, or maybe even more so than that. And then obviously 15 years later, you can kind of do what you want in terms of podcasts and things that you take for granted. But yeah, this is just two guys talking about Ring of Honor, and yeah, for you guys and girls to listen in your droves, just it's in outstanding. And yeah, we're kind of onto the the ROH TV review. Had the recap of Jay Lethal turning heel to help Jonathan Gresham lay out the Briscoes, which, like, this just like on its own, I really poor instance, I thought it's really cool, because
I thought it was really good.
Yeah, because Gresham had the chair and he's like, no, 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 and he's like, this is how you do it, and he smacks him with a chair. And I was like, that's brilliant. And it's just unfortunate that we knew this beforehand, because obviously, unfortunately, the Fight Network is behind the ROH footage. We really appreciate the TV show. We're not going to, you know, say anything bad about it, but it is behind the current ROH, you know, wrestling. So, yeah, we have Josh Woods and Silas Young backstage. They've, you know, became a tag team. Young Woods, I believe. Yeah. So we got Young Woods, Silas Young and Josh Woods. Coast to Coast, which is Shaheem Ali and LSG. Any idea what LSG stands for, Stephen?
Leon Saint Giovanni, I think, if I'm right, unless someone can, you know, correct me on that one, but I think that's what it stands for, or if I'm not mistaken.
Send all of your hate to DJ
215, including LSG, who follows me on, well, I follow him on Twitter.
Yeah, he's not following you until you get his name right.
Exactly.
The Bouncers, Beer City Bruiser, and Brawler Milanos.
Yeah.
Oh, I got that right. Wow. Never happens for me. Soldiers of Savagery, Moses and Khan, I want to say. Yeah?
I think, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Four Corner Survival Tag Team Match. Okay. Right, so this had breaks in it. So for me, the highlight of the first part of the match before the break kicked in was, I believe, the Beer City Bruiser.
Yeah.
Trying to bite someone's head, but he's got no teeth. And that's what he said out loud. He's like, I tried to bite him, but I got no teeth. Which shows ROH can do comedy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I obviously I thought that was fantastic. And then he went to the break. I'll get your thoughts on this in a second, Stephen. For me, there was 2 points that this match could have ended. When the SOS hit their finisher, because that looked really impactful and painful and could have been the end of the match, but Woods kicked out. And then, actually, I'll get your thoughts on that, actually, Stephen. So this could have been the end of the match. It would have made the match a little bit shorter and probably was a good point to end the match at this moment in time. Did you pick that up, or was it just me?
Yeah, I thought the finish from the SOS was devastating. And, you know, tag team finishes, a lot of them nowadays have lost a lot of the sort of impact. Well, they've become quite similar. But I feel that the SOS finisher is brutal. And it should have ended it there and then, because the crowd were really into it. Mm-hmm. they put on a great performance, and that should have been it. But as happens with a lot of Ring of Honor matches, they then have to do the, you know, the near fall two kick out kind of carry on. So it did take away from it. I will admit that. But yeah, I thought it was great, a great finisher, and it seemed, because it was so impactful as well, it seemed like, you know, this is it. How can you kick, you know, like that whole thing. How did he kick out of that? Like, yeah, how did he kick out of that? Because it looked absolutely brutal. Like, come on.
So that wasn't the end of the match when we both thought it could have been. No qualms with the finish of the match. I thought that was incredible.
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, the young catapulting LSG, whose name you don't know, 8 cents to CJ215. When you start picking up Twitter followers, like, there's no tomorrow, Steven, you'll thank me. Young catapulted LSG into a vicious knee strike from Woods, and Woods covered for the win. You know, they're putting some money and some steam behind Young Woods, Silas Young, the last real man, and
Josh Woods.
I can see why they won this match. But all four teams looked fantastic. If you're going to build a team, the Young Woods are now 5-0 as a team. Second best record in ROH this year, behind only the world champion, Roosh. So I don't think we can have any qualms with the winners of the match, can we, Stephen?
It's not just at all.
How they got there.
Yeah, I thought that finisher was awesome. And I thought the way, when they showed it in the slow motion replay as well, the way they captured the actual knee strike itself, I thought it looked fantastic. Like a, you know, Shining Wizard-esque knee strike. I thought it looked brilliant. And I thought everyone played a great part. I thought everyone got involved, and, you know, it was a great match.
The ROH World Television Champion, and he is money on the microphone.
Definitely.
In this situation, something I wasn't aware of is Dragon Lee and Roosh are brothers.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. He was talking about how it's not going to be a picture book ending with Roosh and Dragon Lee as the two main singles champ. Well, sorry, two out of the three main singles champions in ROH, because obviously the Woman of Honor. So I thought this was brilliant.
I think the packages themselves, what Ring of Honor, I mean, for a long time, Ring of Honor got criticism for their packages and things due to them not having the production, costs that they're available to make the high-end WWE-style promo packages and things. But I think the packages what Ring of Honor have been putting out have been awesome. I think they're all really well cut. I think they're really well directed. I think this promo by Shane Taylor was fantastic. I mean, he, like you said, he has money on the mic, and you know, just a quick shout out as well that one of my favorite independent wrestlers, Chris Bay, had a really, really short cameo right at the beginning. So it was nice to see Chris Bay get a little appearance there on the Ring of Honor show.
that's all good. See, the thing is, for me, and obviously the third show you weren't a part of because it was, you wasn't very well, Joe Hendry against Shane Taylor, and he talked me into the building. And then obviously, you know, put on a really good showing. He's money on the microphone. I thought it was fantastic. And obviously you've said the same.
Yeah.
Then we move on to the recapping of the rivalry from Dalton Castle and the prestigious one, Joe Hendry. Loved how this was put together as well. Just everything that went with it, but just that last few seconds of the video when Dalton Castle's just looking at Joe Hendry like, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
And you don't know it. And I was like, that's just brilliant.
Very underrated, Dalton Castle. Really great facial expressions, and
the thing that was always kind of put to Ring of Honor and stuff is you can't get anywhere being a you can't get to the top by being a comedy wrestler, and then he's obviously got his comedy down to a T, but he's a good wrestler that goes with it. And obviously Joe Hendry is incredibly entertaining. And like I said, this video package was really good. Next up was a video package on Rush, the ROH World Champion. Once again, I thought this was good. You know, we're leading to final battle on Friday here, Friday, Saturday morning here in the UK. And I'm really, really content with how it's been built up, in all honesty.
Yeah.
Next up was from ROH Unauthorized. Hanukkah comes early because Colt Cabana was, you know, leading the show. For this one, this match was chopped to pieces.
Yeah.
So I don't think we can review this. I guess and I'd like to see the full match because of, you know, who's involved and stuff, and the, you know, obviously trying to build the Women of Honor division. But the match was chopped to pieces. It was the allure of Angelina Love and Mandy Leon against Sumi Sayaki. Sumi Sakai and Jenny Rose, but the match was chopped to pieces. I guess the main thing was after the match, you know, the Allure won with the Botox injection, and Love took the mic. Maria Manic music hit, she entered the ring, stare down with Love. Final battle, you're dead. We can't repeat what was mentioned then.
I wanted to get your thoughts on Maria Manic there, Stephen, the man eater. We've seen her a couple of times. Yeah, have you seen any of Maria's work at all? Anything we should be looking out for at final battle?
I haven't seen any of Maria's work. This is actually the first time that I actually see a wrestle. I mean, I've heard of her, but I haven't seen anything of her. So it'll be exciting to see what she can bring. And she definitely has that sort of China look to her and that sort of, you know, intimidating female presence to her. So it'll be interesting seeing her wrestle, for me anyway, seeing her wrestle for the first time. So again, I am excited because it's always great being able to see new talent on a pay-per-view for the first time. So yeah, it'll be exciting.
Absolutely. And then we move on to the main event. The CML World Heavyweight Champion, Ultimo Guerrero, sans mask, versus Darewolf, PJ Black, versus Eli Isom, one third of the Shinobi Shadow Squad.
Yeah.
I didn't even have to look that up. They're my new favorite, to tell you. Versus Kenny King with Amy Rose. This was a... shocker, four corner survival match.
second
one on the show. For me, I thought once again, everyone got to shine. Eli Isom in particular, I thought he was tremendous. This match, before I send it over to you, Stephen, for me, I looked at this and I'm thinking about Kenny King and I'm like, this guy has all the tools to be the champion, the main ROH world champion. You know, obviously he's been in the company since, you know, the All Night Express with Austin Aries and Reed Titus, who he'll be taking on at Final Battle. And I'm just going to ask this question, you know, before we get to the review and stuff. You know, what do you make of Kenny King? You think he's got all the tools to get to the top? And if so, what's stopping him from being there?
I think he's got everything. He's definitely come on in the past few years, and his time in TNA definitely helped him grow as a talent and gave him a lot more confidence. I feel he just needs to have more of a presence in the main event picture because he's just always been down in the lower card for some reason. And actually, I can't really tell you why that is. I've always thought since I saw him early on in his career in Ring of Honor that he had all the tools there to be a main eventer. And it just does surprise me because he's, you know, able to talk, he's got a great charisma and he can wrestle, you know, he's able to. Great look. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got everything, hasn't he?
He has.
So
yeah, this was a match that just, you know, once again flew by. So yeah, in the end, PJ Black, Justin Gabriel of WWE fame, hit an amazing move. It just shows you the athleticism of the guy. A moonsault into a drop kick into Eli Eisen's yeah. face to win the match. And it's just like once again, this is another guy that's got all the tools to be like huge in professional wrestling. He's probably come along at a point where everyone does what he does. And so he's had to add, you know, new little ways of doing things, obviously, with this drop kick to the face after a moonsault, which I haven't seen. You know, we've seen a shooting star press leg drop and elbow drop and things of that nature. And it's just mind blowing what can happen in a wrestling ring, isn't it, Steven?
It is very similar in shades of Ricochet's double moonsault, which he used to do on the independent scene. And it was a brilliant finish to the match. I mean, it was a show-stopping finish, you know. And as we said earlier, you know, if you wanted to have a finish, that was the finish to the match. And it was great to see at the end the code of honor being adhered to with Eli Isom and Justin Gabriel. I thought it was a really nice touch because it's been kind of put to the side a lot, the code of honor, which although isn't as prominent now as it was when the company first started running shows, it's still there. So I thought it was a really nice little touch at the end.
The people who didn't follow it were the biggest, you know, heels, bad guys in the company.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm looking at you, Christopher Daniels. So, you know, but it's true though, isn't it? Anyone who broke the code of honor and what we said about emotional reaction and stuff, people hated wrestlers who broke the code of honor.
Yep.
That's how much it meant.
Definitely.
I don't know if it means that much now, as it whether it's just a show of sportsmanship, but it really, really meant something.
It's not been really mentioned at all, interestingly, on the whole set of episodes we've watched,
that's a good point.
Which surprises me, because it is such a prominent, or it has been such a prominent part of the company for so long.
Yeah.
But it was a great way to close out the match, I think, and it helped, you know, put Eli Isom over even more with the, you know, with the fans. And I feel he does have a really bright future ahead of him.
First time seeing him, really impressed. Hang with the CML heavyweight champion, Kenny King, who's obviously long-standing in ROH, and PJ Black, who's done, you know, fantastic work around the world. Goes to show, you know, what he can do and what the company believes in him, basically.
Yeah. Ultimo Guerrero, just to finish as well, Ultimo Guerrero, you know, he can still go. And he was great.
Well, he was the Lucha Libre chance and stuff, wasn't it?
So, yeah.
But, really impressed. Another really good match. Take away everything I've said about other things. both Four Corner Survivals were good matches. Nothing wrong with them at all. I think ROH is getting a bad rep because it's not probably not household names at the moment, but they're beginning to get there.
Yeah,
I want to see more of Eli Isom, for example.
Yeah, the problem is that the legacy of Ring of Honor is so strong that everyone's like, oh, it's not the days of Bryan Danielson. It's not the days of, you know, Nigel and Generation Next and Samoa Joe. And yeah, but, you know, once upon a time, they weren't well-known names and they had to build themselves up.
We said on last week's show, the best moment in Final Battle history was a relatively unknown Austin Aries at the time beating the dominant monster of a champion, Samoa Joe.
Exactly, you know, and that's the thing, is that just give these guys a chance, you know. Like you said, they're busting their asses off, working hard, they're having great matches, the crowds aren't what they used to be, I can't deny that, unfortunately. Yeah,
I
attendance
think that's what our next point was going to be, wasn't it?
Yeah.
After the first two or three rows, they look to be a lot of empty seats.
Yeah.
And that is, that's heartbreaking, in all honesty. We don't watch the ROH, sorry, that's our show. We don't watch the ROH TV products, you know, like other people, just to be negative and stuff. You just got to be, you know, 100% across the board. You got to talk about the good stuff, the bad stuff, and the in between. And I think a lot of the fans have turned against Ring of Honor because of, you know, not pulling the trigger on different things. And that dates back to the HD Net time, Steve, and I'm sure you'll agree. Yeah. You know, we've talked about champions that should have been champions before they were champions, or champions that haven't been champions, etc. And, you know, Jonathan Gresham being the company 3 years, not being a champion. Not quite sure why that's the case, for example. But yeah, it's heartbreaking, in all honesty. You know, that they have built themselves up to a huge point, Madison Square Garden, and then to see the attendances dwindle down from there is really tough to take. And the concerning thing for Friday night is it's a 5,000 person arena, isn't it?
Yeah. And seeing that attendance from those, you know, TV shows hasn't been great. So, you know, I hope that they are able to. I mean, it's Final Battle, so I'm hoping they'll draw some people in. But, you know, whether they get 5,000 in is another story. I mean, Ring of Honor have rarely ever hit, you know, above 3,000, you know, so to get 5,000 in
Liverpool
is a big ask.
Was just over 1,500, I think, and that was full to see years ago. So yeah, it's one of those, isn't it, really? So the next thing that we'd like to talk about, technical difficulties aside, is our match of the month. So we are five shows in, and the first month has gone, and the week. So we'd like to talk about our match of the month. The best TV match that we've seen over the last month in Ring of Honor is 3-2-1, Alex Shelley
versus Jonathan Gresham.
See, that's why I have Steven on. He's agreeable. the other people I contacted weren't as much. No, I'm not contacting anyone else, just Steven. Right, yeah, so this was amazing. Still 5 weeks later, we're eulogizing about it.
Yeah.
It's the reason why we're starting the ROH Pure Title petition, because these two should be heading that division. And, yeah, in honesty, it's probably the reason why the debut show did so well.
Yeah.
Hopefully me and Steven, you know, put it across how great this match was. And if you're recording the shows, you know, like they do nowadays, to watch at a later date, seek this match out. It's the debut show from 5 weeks ago. First match on, Alex Shelley, Jonathan Gresham. Pure wrestling classic. Check it out. What do you think, Steven? Anything to add?
Just that it was a wrestling clinic, and what, as we said on the debut show, what Ring of Honor was built upon, and it was just a fantastic, fantastic match. I'm not being over the top in saying this, but this has been one of the, I would say this is one of the best Ring of Honor matches in several years, and one of the best matches possibly I've seen this year. And it's one match which will stand out to me from this year, from all over wrestling, just because it was such a surprise and so good and so technically sound.
So different than what we're seeing on today's product?
You say that again, sorry, I just didn't catch that.
Oh, sorry. So different to what we're seeing in today's day and age.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it was just such a... The transitions, the catch style, the crowd, the psychology, what we were mentioning earlier, just the psychology of it was beautiful.
They got into a time machine, started listening to the fifth episode of the ROH review, and then went back and created the match.
Exactly.
With brilliant in-ring psychology and slowed it down. And for the people like me and Steve, it's a dream.
Like we've said,
it's what ROH was built on. We'll sing this and we'll shout this from the rooftops. Go back to what it was.
Yep.
On certain instances, bring back the stars, which they're doing. Bring back pure wrestling, which they need to do. One match on the card, build the card around it. Job done.
Exactly.
And that brings an end to tonight's show. For myself, I'm a free-time pro wrestling author. Two books based on Ring of Honor, which Stephen owns both copies.
Yes.
Thanks for the support, Stephen. First book is a British wrestling book, but it does have elements of Ring of Honor. I was at ROH Unified in 2006 to see the aforementioned Brian Danielson and Nigel McGuinness tear it up like only they can. I was there in 2007 as well for Samoa Joe's leaving the five-year festival in Liverpool. Lucky enough to be at the hotel with the wrestlers as well, which was a really cool experience. And that book is called A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling. And I was fortunate enough then to go to the Orlando shows in 2008 to see Austin Aries against Nigel McGuinness live at Supercard of Honor. And that book is called A Fan's Perspective, How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare. They're both available on my Big Cartel, afansperspective.bigcartel.com. You can buy them from Amazon on paperback and Kindle. Kindle, you can download instantaneously. They're available for free on Kindle Unlimited. I get paid per page as you read in the first sitting. We have a partnership at Broken But Glorious with powerslam.tv. 6,500 hours of amazing wrestling entertainment from 140 plus promotions. I myself have watched Hitting the High Spots with the Phoenix, Jody Fleisch, friend of the show, and former and hopefully current and future ROH wrestler. He was part of the UK show, as you said, didn't you, Stephen?
Yeah, he was. Earlier this year.
That's a really fun interview with Rob Naylor. I watched the Montreal Fury, which if you've got an extra 5.5 hours of free time, you'll enjoy, because it's the before, during, and aftermath of the Montreal screw job. And I watched the Monday Night War debate, which was hosted by the Le Champion, the AEW champion, Chris Jericho, and featured Bruce Pritchard on the WWF side and Eric Bischoff on the WCW side. And you can use powerslam.tv for a month free by using our code BROKENFREE. And to yourself, Stephen, is there anything you'd like to plug? You like to talk about your social media, which I've mentioned a few times.
In case you didn't catch it when Oliver mentioned it earlier, you can find me and tweet me and correct me on Twitter at CJ215, where I tweet predominantly about wrestling but other things as well. And you can also find my written work along with my colleagues at The Wrestling Estate, which if you look on Google, The Wrestling Estate, you'll be able to find us there. And on Twitter, we're at The Wrestling Est, so that's Wrestling EST, where we talk about, we do our weekly roundtables, we have interesting independent wrestler review interviews, we have interesting articles about all aspects of the industry, AEW, New Japan, Ring of Honor, which I predominantly cover. So that's that's what I'd like to promote this evening, Oliver. So, like I said, it's been a great chat again. Just sorry we had those couple of technical difficulties, but we've worked around them and we've struggled on, and it's always a pleasure to be able to do the podcast as it has been these past few weeks.
100%. And for myself, my social media is at Brumial on Twitter, at Brumial on Instagram, Fans Perspective UK on Facebook. For the podcast, it is at BBGWPod on Twitter. For the hub on Twitter, it's at BBG Wrestling. The website is bbgwrestling.com. And yeah, I think that's everything, in all honesty. So, thank you very much, everyone, for joining us this evening. And we'll be back with you next week.
Yep. See you all later.
Everyone. See you later.
See ya.
Bye for now.